Hello, hello, hello. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to talk tonight about a sign of the end times. And we're talking about a few things. We're going to continue on pride, but we're also going to share a few things about what's happening in our future and what we're going to be facing here. I want to read a couple articles, but let's look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 first. Here it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And that word perilous means fierce times shall come. "And why is it? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves." Just think of how much trouble we get into when we're left to our own devices and we don't trust in God and we don't lean on God. But he said, they're going to be covetous, boasters, and proud. Underline that, boasters and proud. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, circle that unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, greedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And then in verse 13, it said, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But what are we supposed to do? Those of us that live in the world, but we're not of it, we continue in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We have to keep our faith in him and not ourselves. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. See that word, correction. We need the Bible and we need the Lord to speak to us through the Holy Spirit, correcting us. We have taught in our churches that everything is supposed to be positive and everything's supposed to be uplifting, and then we don't preach on the negative things. There is negative scriptures that talk about, don't let any man deceive, right here, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I've never heard that taught, the churches that I went to. I've never heard anybody talk about that verse because it's too negative. But it's true. It's true. And without correction, we get off balance. So we need to be corrected so that we have both, you know, good things coming, but we also have to know that end times are coming and they're not going to be something we can escape. And we're seeing it already in our own world, aren't we? So I want to share a couple articles here. And I'm not going to read all of them, but this was in our paper yesterday that our governor joined 21 other leaders last week in calling on Congress to take immediate action on climate and clean energy. Now, what are we talking about here? What they want, a climate package for sustainable development of human activities. So what does this all mean? This is all about monitoring and control. If you want to just put it in a nutshell, it's about monitoring your carbon footprint. Let me go into this article here, and I'm not going to read a lot about it, but it's the Green New Deal. I've shared this with you before in Agenda 21. So many people have never heard of Agenda 21. And we're living in it, so you might as well study it. Go on the internet, do your own research on what it is. Because in 1992 at the United Nations Earth Summit, it's a 350-page, 40-chapter Agenda 21 document. It was quite detailed in its purpose and its goals. And its policies will affect every aspect of our lives, using the environmental protection simply as the excuse to pull us to voluntarily surrender our liberties. More and more people don't realize that things are happening and choices are being made through fear, and it's just beginning. This is just beginning, and I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but we're going to see it more and more in our news. You're going to see it more and more talked about because they're not hiding it now. But that doesn't mean that God can't push it back. It doesn't mean that they're going to have some trouble. Like I've already heard about their electric cars. Some of them are really having trouble. A guy's car blew up. I guess the battery got on fire and he couldn't get out and he burnt. That's not a good good sign. Go run out and get your car. But just things are happening that people are like, I'm just not ready for this agenda yet. So, you know, prayer and pushing things back can still cause things to not come like they want them to. But they're exposing their plans now pretty much in broad daylight. And section one talks about the eradication of poverty. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds really good. But it's about maintaining health through injections, modern medicine, population control. Now, population control doesn't sound so good. How are they going to control the population? They want to eradicate poverty. So then the Earth Summit chairman, he talked about current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class. And what does this pertain to? And I'm reading this again for you because this is happening right now. They're saying the current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the middle class involving meat intake, use of fossil fuels, appliances, air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable, they said. So according to the plan, if it's not sustainable, it must be stopped. And that's all I'm going to read about that. And you don't think that's happening, but already I've been hearing that they've been telling people not to use electricity. Now we're having all this heat. They can't use their air conditioning. And so we have to keep our eyes on what's happening, right? Keep your eyes on what's happening because everything's now going to be about climate change. So here we go. Climate change, right?
Right.
So pride, we're going to talk about today, is it opens the door to deception. And we have to look at the pride of our own heart. It's easy to point our fingers at somebody else, but God says he resists the proud, and he resists us when we get in pride. And it's the first sin of Lucifer. It's the first sin of Adam and Eve, and the enemy still wants to get us to resist God. And basically, pride is throwing our fist in God's face, saying, I'll do it my way. But humility is God's requirement for staying on track and not becoming deceived. Because when we get in pride, Obadiah 3 says, the pride of thine own heart has deceived you. So pride is blinding. And that's why it's good to have people around you to kind of bounce things off and not be a lone ranger. Because sometimes you won't even realize that you're in pride until somebody rebukes you. Pride says, I'll do it my way. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And why is that? Because pride is unteachable and it's unsubmissive. You think as people age, sometimes they lose their filters and they don't submit to anyone. They want everything their way. Sometimes as people get older, they're kind of stubborn and they lose some things. But it's sad that the young people now, there's so much arrogance, so you can't tell them anything. It's like they don't want to listen to their parents. They don't want to listen. So we're seeing, you know, like the Bible says in Timothy there, that we're seeing proud and haughtiness so much. And it's the end times come. We're going to see more lovers of self. Now let's turn to Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 10. This is a picture that God shows us of the Pharisees and their pride. And their pride is that they loved themselves and they despised others. So whenever we put ourselves on a position that we look down on other people, we can even talk down to them or irrespect them, we're not walking in humility, we're walking in pride. We think we're better than. We put ourselves up on a pedestal. So here in Luke 18 and verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, and even though they have religious spirits, they still pray. Isn't that something? But the other one was a publican. But the Pharisee stood, and what did he do? He prayed with himself. God resists us when we just talk and boast. And here he's given us an example. He prayed with himself. pride in himself, belief in himself. And there's something when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we don't depend on ourselves. We know what we can do, but our trust is in the Lord. And as we see these dark days come, we have to trust that God's going to take care of us. God's going to show us what to do. He'll show us our next step. We don't want to rush and do things in our own strength and make big mistakes now. We have to learn to get out of debt, get out of debt, get rid of things you don't need, sell things right now. We got to prepare for what they're talking about. There's going to be supply shortages. We all know, we're hearing it on the news daily, that the supply chain is breaking up and somehow disappearing. So what do? You got to trust in the Lord, but you also have to be wise. Like Joseph, he prepared in the time of famine, didn't he? It's not unbelief to prepare and to get ready with some things. As the Lord leads you, you need to prepare for some things. So here, he prayed with himself, God, I thank thee. He's not asking for anything. And this is the other thing that I've seen in the movements I've come out of. The Bible says we're supposed to ask, knock, and seek. Well, in the movements I came out of, we're kind of bossing God around, telling him what we're going to do. And they're doing the same thing here. We can decree and declare and make God obey us. He doesn't obey. He doesn't even listen. Listen to this. He said, I stood and prayed with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men and extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So here he's despising others. So this is pride. I, talking about all the good works he does, I fast in the week. I give tithes of all I. How many I's has he talked about here? And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. So what is he doing? He's humbling himself. He knows he's missed it. He can't compare himself with this Pharisee who's got all these things and all these acts together. But look who God listens to. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So pride is something that God hates, and he hates it in all of us. And we've been trained to see it in other people, but we have to ask God to show us in ourselves. It raises itself against others. It excuses why you can remain bitter and why you don't have to forgive because of all they've done to you. And that what happens then is we swallow the poison, because unforgiveness keeps that alive in you. And if we forgive, you move on. Sure, they hurt you. Sure, they did you wrong. It takes time to work it out. And yes, it bothered you and you didn't deserve it and all those things. God knows that. But he tells us that when we're stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. But pride excuses and makes us have a reason why we have a chip on our shoulder. Because they did this, I can be like this. Well, you can be angry. And then when people are in pride, they don't receive correction. And that's the hardest thing, is that we have not been taught the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So if God's correcting you and it's hard to take, be thankful that you're a son, right? Because he said he won't correct people that aren't his children. So pride raises itself against others. It excuses bitterness and a hard heart. Excuses our anger. And excuses correction. So what happens is we have an unrepentant heart. Just what happened to Pharaoh. God kept giving him chance after chance to let his people go. And what would he do? He wouldn't let him go. He wouldn't let him go, and he wouldn't repent. His heart got harder and harder and harder. So what is pride? It's a feeling of superiority because of one's talents. See, when we can do something better than someone else, we kind of get that feeling of I'm better than. Or because of your money, some people think they're better because they have money, or different things, they look down on others. And really, we have to be thankful for whatever God's given you, your gifts, your talents, they all belong to him anyway. So just give him all the glory and all the praise. And I want to just give a couple things here of characteristics of a prideful person. Very insecure. People that are very walking in pride have a fragile ego that is easily hurt, easily offended, and easily triggered. When the Bible says we walk in love, we suffer long. When you're walking in offense, you don't suffer at all. You just get offended really easy and triggered. Somebody's tone sets you off. Some people are just, their tone, you just have to walk on eggshells. So you pretend you're tough and confident, but really underneath you're very insecure. That's a proud person. Self-righteous. The people that are self-righteous, like here, know-it-all. Do you know any know-it-alls? You criticize and judge and come across as entitled. And that's what the Bible says too, that men are going to be lovers of themselves. We're seeing more narcissism in the pulpits, for one thing, but we're seeing narcissism all around. People are depending more and more on themselves, in their own strength, doing things their own way. And the Bible says this is going to happen in the end times. Many are going to be deceived. And he says, let no man deceive you. There's going to be pestilences. There's going to be plagues. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Aren't we living in some of those times? But we're not supposed to be weary or troubled. He said these things have to happen. Another thing about a controlling or proudful person is they're very controlling. Sometimes when you were raised, you had to be in charge of everything. Things were rough, and you learned how to be in charge. Well, now when there's other people around, you don't always have to be in charge. You got to learn to let some of that control go. It's not healthy to always be in charge. Boastful. The proud brags and show off. Do you know of any bragging person? You'll tell a story, but they got one better. So how do we grow? We have to grow in humility. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to submit. And what humility means is taking on the mind of a servant. And so we're really called to serve people. When you lose that serving attitude, you want everyone to serve you, that's pride. And that's what I've seen in a lot of churches, where these pastors and leaders demand that you serve them rather than they serve. A real minister is called to be humble, and they're supposed to be serving as well as you are. We're all supposed to be serving, submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. And we depend on God and we trust him. When we trust in ourselves, we say things. God's always watching us. Everything we do, everything we say. We can skip a lot of pain if we listen to others. Other people have good advice, and we have to learn to listen. Because a lot of people want to do all the talking, but they don't ever know how to listen. And there's a lot of good advice that people give, but if you're proud, you won't receive it. And then in closing, Proverbs 3:12, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father the Son, on whom he delighteth. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When people are preaching about all these angels, this is Gnosticism. Now we've got Gnosticism that's come into the church. It's infiltrated. Everybody's got their angel. Everybody's, you know, seeing angels. And all. This is a Gnostic gospel that many people are preaching right now. And Christian media has been taken over by the teachers of positive thinking and positive confession. And this is a fad taken over from the secular world. Actually, Robert Schuller brought it in. Norman Vincent Peale brought it in. And now it's in our churches, and people think that's the gospel. It's not. Everybody wants to feel good and hyped up in church. And sometimes we need to go in repentance. Sometimes we don't need to feel good. We need to get our heart right so that we won't be judged. If we judge ourselves, the Bible says we won't be judged. But emphasizing only what is positive and uplifting, as a result, people are not corrected. They're not getting some of that pride knocked off of them. Because the churches now think they just have to entertain and they have to be the best in town and they have to have the best show in town. And it's just gotten so secular, hasn't it? Escaping from reality and real issues. Faith, we were taught faith that if you have faith in yourself and your words, this is such pride. Because it's what I say, God has to obey me. Think about the arrogancy of that. And then you can't face reality. You can never say, I need help. You can never say, I don't feel well. Because you're going to have what you say, so you can't. So what it causes is a bunch of warped people running around that will not face reality. They don't know how to deal with stuff because they think God only wants them successful and rich and wealthy. And now they're going through shaking times, and a lot of people are going to fall away from the faith, the Bible says, because they were taught wrong. And if your foundation is wrong, your house is going to be wrong, right? So you don't want to build on a faulty foundation. And they don't know how to deal with reality because they were taught, brainwashed, what faith is. Faith is in your words, and you have what you say rather than faith in God and what he says. So negative and positive are humanistic terms. That word positive isn't even in the Bible. It's not found in the Bible. What you have to say, is this true or is this false? So as a result of not teaching correctly and not having a good foundation, people are not corrected. They're not correctable. They don't know that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Sometimes it cuts, and it's like it makes you change your behavior. He tells you what is sin, what is holy, what is unholy. Not, oh, we just love. We're into this love movement. We can't judge. That's not what the Bible says. Bible, they take that one scripture, judge not, and they take it out of context. It's talking about don't judge someone's motives. Only God knows someone's motives, but we're to judge righteous judgment. And we're supposed to look at people's fruits. If they don't have good fruits, and the Bible says run away from an angry man. If someone's angry all the time, see ya, you know, because otherwise the Bible says you'll turn out just like him. So who the Lord love, he correcteth. Sometimes we have to feel corrected. And because we're not used to it, it might feel weird or bad, but it's actually a good thing because God's correcting you. He's trying to get you to stay on the right path rather than end up like this Pharisee who God didn't even listen to because all he did was talk about himself. He boasted about himself. So we have to stay humble. It's not just a matter of one or two times, but it's every day, isn't it? Walking in humility, because pride opens the door to deception. And this Pharisee was so in pride, and what was he? He was so deceived. He thought it was all about him and what he did. And we don't want to end up that way. Father, we thank you for having the mind of a servant, that we can stay submissive to one another in the Lord. And we pray for all these things that are coming. There are so many things that are coming. It's just one thing after another in these end times. It seems like there's a crisis here. Now this is happening, and now this is happening. For 2 years, so many people are so tired. They're weary. They're discouraged. So we pray, Father, for them to be encouraged today that you're still on the throne. You said these things do have to happen, but you're going to be with us. We thank you for Psalms 91. We thank you, Father, that you keep us. You keep us. And those that have fallen, I pray that they would repent and get back up again. A righteous man does fall, but he gets back up. And so, Father, help those that are discouraged, that are weary, even that are in pride, and they need to repent and change. They need to start seeing themselves as you see them and judge themselves so they won't be judged. And for all this, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the Messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a Give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.